How new census data show it's finally not just the rich getting richer in these post-recession years. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. For the first time since the great financial collapse, the typical income in America has risen. This is the amount most of us make, quite distinct from average incomes. We can express this new census data in different ways, including by race. Median income for African-American people is up 4.1%. Between 2014 and 2015, Hispanic people up 6.1%, Asian Americans up 3.7%, White Americans up 4.4%. What we have here is encouraging data about the American economy lifting more of our boats, not just the yachts. Justin Wolfers is a professor of public policy and economics at the University of Michigan.
Oh, I think this is actually just very, very good news. We've seen poverty go down. We're seeing middle class incomes rising and rising strongly. This was the largest annual rise in median household income on record. So the median is the household right in the middle of the income distribution. Their incomes are rising. It rose over 5% last year. And those with lower incomes actually saw even larger increases in income last year.
What about the mechanics of this? It must be more people have jobs. And we've been reporting here, wage growth in America.
Yeah, so one thing to point out, this is the rise in income after accounting for inflation. So these are real income gains. And, you know, we're now in the seventh year of the ongoing economic recovery. Two things that's doing. It's giving a few people wage rises, maybe not enough. But more importantly, it's bringing people back into the workforce. And, you know, moving from a household with zero jobs to one, or from one job to two, makes a really, really big difference in people's economic well-being.
We do have news here, right, that we finally dug ourselves out of a pit, but that doesn't necessarily add up to prosperity, right?
I think there's sort of two narratives that run through this report. If you want to be the optimist, you think about the changes. The changes are basically all good. Poverty is lower. Middle-class incomes are higher. And working-class incomes are doing even better still. If you want to see the glass as half empty, you say, but in each of those domains, there are still problems. Poverty may be lower, but it's still too high. Middle-class incomes may have risen, but they actually haven't quite gotten back to the levels they were back in the year 2000. So, you know, we're moving in the right direction, but this shouldn't be the end. There's still more work to be done.
The University of Michigan's Justin Wolfers, thank you for this.
A pleasure.
A new proposal for regulating the internet is out today in the European Union. Officials have been working for months to clarify rules and regulations about broadband and copyright. That copyright part is ruffling some American corporate feathers, Marketplace's Lewis Wallace reports.
When you go to Google News or Facebook, you see a lot of links, and a lot of them are to copyrighted material. The proposed EU framework focuses on the rights of publishers and could end up requiring platforms to get permissions from each outlet they link to. Eleonora Rosati is a professor of property law at the University of Southampton.
It might be a double-edged sword because at the end of the day, these news aggregators might drive traffic to newspapers' website.
She says in Spain, where a similar law already exists, there is no Google News. Of course, the other option is for aggregators to get good at filtering out copyrighted stuff, much as Google subsidiary YouTube has started to do. But Rosati says that could disadvantage smaller platforms and distributors.
A platform like Google already has this kind of technology.
The EU president today in a speech said these digital rules encourage investment in high-speed internet and that there will be exceptions for material that's educational or culturally important. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
Another big story we're following is early as this morning, maybe in minutes, the German pharmaceutical conglomerate Bayer could purchase the genetically modified farm products giant Monsanto. This would become the largest merger of the year, worth, by some estimates, $65 billion. Bayer's board is meeting on this right about now. Monsanto's people have already given a tentative go-ahead. Monsanto's stock was worth about $106 yesterday. Bayer could offer about $128 a share. Tomorrow night, NFL fans will have a new way to watch the game, streaming it on Twitter. It's part of a $10 million deal the social media company won back in April. Marketplace's Jed Kim has more on how this project came to be.
The streaming deal is an experiment. Adam Grossman, who founded Block 6 Analytics, says it's a pretty good one.
Games are played at the same time, almost on the same day in the same parts of the year. You actually can do almost the best natural testing that you can do from a business environment because of the way that the calendar is structured in sports.
So, good design. But what is the NFL testing? Well, new platforms, reaching fans where they hang out online. There's a lot to gain and little to lose.
It's rare that you get to run an experiment where you're getting paid, especially $10 million to run an experiment.
Twitter, which is paying that $10 million, has more at stake. It's a big chance to claw back some relevance. Craig McCanch of experience marketing company Infrared says it could lead to bigger things.
They get to find out whether or not live sports will or will not be a pathway to their future success.
So watch on Twitter, or don't. No matter what you do, someone's getting smarter. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
And today we also talked to an expert to get tips for using credit card and frequent flyer points the smart way and the less smart way. If you miss it on the air, it'll be at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.